Hey everybody, I'm Holistic Hilda and I am here to bring you epic adventures, experiences, and experts to boost your health. On today's episode, we have a conversation with Dr. Jack Cruz. He is a brilliant neurosurgeon who some years back had a health crisis of his own and decided to do something radical to improve his health. He started exploring quantum physics and how that applies to our health. He started getting into cryogenesis, which is all the cold adaptation stuff we've talked about before on this channel, and the power of sunlight. You are gonna be blown away by this conversation. Honestly, I know I was. Check it out. I'm in Playa del Carmen with Dr. Jack Cruz, and I'm excited to talk with you about your whole philosophy, your whole theory about how it's not the food that's going to improve our health. Can you explain that to our watching audience?
Man, I wouldn't say that it's not the food that's not gonna help you. It's just not the dominant thing that is paramount. Almost everybody says that it's food and exercise. Well, if food and exercise work, why is everybody still sick? Because everybody's been doing it for hundreds of years, and our species continues to get worse. What we don't seem to realize is that food is an electromagnetic footprint built by photosynthesis, by the sun behind us right there. And the entire food web on this planet, with the exception of the fake food, which is made inside a building under artificial means, and we eat, we think that they're equivalent, they're not. The big thing is that people think it's about food and exercise predominantly, don't ever factor in the electromagnetic footprint into their theories of why food and diet really truly don't matter when the environment varies. And it turns out, our species has varied the environment tremendously since 1879. Edison invented the light bulb, and then a couple years later, it got even worse when Tesla made the AC power.
How does that light interfere with our health, the light that we've made?
Well, the thing is, we don't even realize that some of the things that, you know, most people consider that are proteins, they're actually chromophores. They actually absorb certain frequencies of light, you know, in different ways. Most people don't even know that the cytochrome number one in the mitochondria is called NAD plus and NADH. That's the redox couple. That's a fluorophore protein. It's actually made from an amino acid called tryptophan. And most people don't even know that nicotine, which is what the N stands for in the, is from that that amino acid. Aromatic amino acids have a benzene ring on them, and a benzene ring acts as a photon trap and captures sunlight. Aromatic amino acids absorb between 200 and 400 nanometer light, and that's how they get programmed to make the things they do. So cytochrome 1 is made out of that. The other hormone that you probably have heard of that has a lot to do with why we do well is melatonin. It happens to be made from the same exact aromatic amino acid. So when you begin to see how all these different things in your body works, like the skin on you, the melanin, that's another chromophore protein that absorbs in the UV range. Turns out cytochrome 2, which is FAD2, that's a flavin dinucleotide, that's a blue light detector. So we absorb all different types of frequencies. The number one chemical in our body is water. Water is one of the perfect red light chromophores. It absorbs best between 600 nanometers and 3100 nanometers. It turns out the sun emits 600 to 3100 nanometer light. So that's the reason why everything that's alive on this planet, whether it's a plant or an animal, it's very important. The sun is important too, because the red light that's in the sun is the critical component of the story. And that's the reason why photosynthesis is incredibly important to understand when we get to the food story.
But I think people are actually afraid of the sun nowadays.
Of course they are, and that's the reason why they're getting sick. And this is what people don't understand. If you open up any meta-analysis on all-cause mortality, you know what reduces all-cause mortality? Has been studied 9 separate times. Last time in 2016 in Sweden, the sun. The sun keeps you alive longer and healthier.
And here we are hiding from it, right?
Notice I didn't say it was food or diet.
No.
That's right. It's the sun. So the key is the light that you live under is the single most important thing you can do. Food is important, but that context is quite different than everybody else thinks. And the thing is, when you understand the black swan mitochondria perspective, then you begin to understand why this is in fact the case.
Because food is part of the environment. Is that what you're getting at?
Of course it's the environment. Food grows in your environment. There's different foods at different latitudes. For example, I'd have no problem convincing any of your readers or listeners that you can't grow a cactus in the tundra. Everybody would say that's ridiculous, but people think it's perfectly fine to eat a banana at the 59th latitude because the Whole Foods in Canada has that. That's not the way it works, unfortunately.
So it sends the wrong kind of information to your body.
Electromagnetic signal. So it sends the electromagnetic energy and information buried in the light wave to your mitochondria that there's a mismatch going on. And anytime there's a mismatch going on, there's a word we use that's called chaos. In other words, it's increased signal to noise ratio. What do we call in medicine? Inflammation. That's all it is. These are all synonyms for the same thing. So you can see when we talk about waveforms or interference patterns or signal to noise ratio, these are all things that electrical engineers or physicists would talk about. But we don't realize in biology that eating a banana on December 31st in the Northern Hemisphere creates that missense or that nonsense noise, and it's codified in us in inflammation in the body. That's what your doctor checks when they check your blood work, or they check your EKG, or they check your EEG, or they look in your eye and they see that there's some changes present from a higher hemoglobin A1C. That's the mark that there's been a mismatch gone on in your body for a long period of time. Just because something's present in your modern environment doesn't mean you should eat it. If nature didn't provide for it, you have no business eating it.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. So if we do this mismatch by eating food that isn't from our local area, it leads to inflammation and illness, probably autoimmune disorders.
Well, it's not just that. I don't think you should jump that far ahead. I think it's much more important. You have to understand that even within medicine and in the food guru world, talking about that era, most people look at food as just the energy side of the equation. It turns out that the information process in light is actually more important than the energy part. But the thing is, nobody gets told that. And the reason for that, I'll give you a simple analogy. Everybody who's watching this knows that if you take cyanide, it stops electron chain transport, you die. Every doctor learns that, okay? So we get this idea that as the electron chain transport slows, that's bad, okay? Well, right distal to the electron chain transport, where all foods break down, we have this ATPase that spins really fast. Guess what it is? It's a red light chromophore. What people don't realize is that UV light, the sun, UVA and UVB, actually slow electron chain transport down, while the red light and sunlight makes it spin even faster. So when you start to think about what is intermittent fasting, that's it. That's how it's built into you. So when you're in a strong solar environment, you don't have to eat as much food. When you go away from the wind environment, you have to eat more food. How is this codified in your mitochondria by nature? Where do uncoupled haplotypes come from? Further away from the equator. What do they need? More food. Why? Right. Because you make more heat.
I thought about that because I thought we were just eating more because we were trying to stay warm.
Well, that's really how the system is built. But now the fidelity of the system is broken because now the light that's at the 59th latitude for most of the winter is blue light and non-native EMF that is not from the sun. It's from Tesla, Edison, and man's modern creations. Like these three wonderful ladies standing in front of us holding a cell phone, using this stuff around us. That's the problem.
So if I had a presenting health concern, or even if I didn't, but I'm suddenly becoming aware of the truth of what you're saying, what are some steps I could take to kind of take advantage of the natural light and be more in sync with my environment?
The single number one thing I tell everybody, the Pareto's principle of being a black swan, if you take one takeaway, never not see the sunrise every single day of your life. That's all you have to do. If you see the sunrise every single day the rest of your life, you'll solve probably 70-80% of your problems.
That's amazing.
That's all you need to do. The problem is, you have to ask yourself at some point in your life, how many sunrises have you really seen where you live? The people that live in probably the tundra right now, none of them live the way the native people did. The people at the equator, they probably see the sunrise just about every day because they're still living in huts. They still live outside. People in New York City, they don't do that. they got buildings around. It depends where you live. Like where I grew up in New York City on 3rd Avenue and 79th Street, the only way you would see the sun at certain times if you went in the cross streets. Now the sun would still be there, but you don't see it. That's the reason why you pay big money to live on the Upper West Side or the Upper East Side, where you get a good view of the setting or rising sun. That's why it costs money. The problem is, if you're seeing it behind glass, it's not effective. You have to see it with the sun directly on your eyes and your skin to actually have the great effect.
Now, I know you know this all intellectually. You've experienced it as well, but have you seen people whose lives and health have turned around because of just implementing that simple advice?
There's lots of people here. There's about 80 people here right now that probably could all sit down and have a discussion with you how their life has improved in some way. Probably the best thing is you should probably go out there and talk to some of those people and see how the effect was, how simple it really was to do. The thing, you know what the problem is? People think it's so simple that it won't work. And the crazy thing is, once you try it, you find out that everything Jack tells you doesn't really cost you much money. You know, if you want to come to see Jack at a place like this, then it's going to cost money, because when Jack goes on vacation and people want to come out and hang out and talk with me, it's always going to be in an environment where I can get access to the sun. For me, that's the key thing. I mean, any free time I get, I want to be in nature. I don't want to be inside. I don't want to be indoors.
And I think most people feel better naturally when they are out in nature. So I don't think this will come as a shock, but they're going to have to sacrifice some of their modern conveniences.
Well, not only that, but the shock to most of them is, and this is the real amazing thing. What people really don't realize now, 97% of humans live inside. Here's the crazy part. This will show you why every single study shows that people who live outside do better. This goes all the way back to the Weston A. Price food guru mindset that they need to understand. When you go behind glass and say it's sunny out, but you're on the inside of that glass, it subtracts out all the UV, all the purple light, and subtracts out about 30 to 50% of the red. So on a relative basis, what does that mean for the blue that's unaffected? It means that your blue light toxic. Why? Because you just subtracted out the key frequencies that cause the regeneration programs in your mitochondria. So just being inside the glass, even if the sun's on the other side, means your blue light toxic.
So it's I must picture the blue light and the red light, like arm wrestling, and the blue light.
Well, the blue light wins because the blue light can pass right through the glass. The red light can't, mm-hmm. and neither can the purple. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the purple controls apoptosis, the red controls autophagy. Apoptosis and autophagy, the only two change programs in your mitochondria. So what happens? Those mitochondrial engines in your inner mitochondrial membrane, cytochrome 1 through 4, when those engines break, it doesn't matter what kind of food you eat. That's why food doesn't matter. Right. It's the engines that matter. And if you don't believe me, ask any person that owns a Ferrari. If that engine is not finely tuned by a mechanic, it will not go 220 miles an hour. Well, it turns out in us, we don't need a mechanic. We're the mechanic by the choices that we make around light, because light is what regenerates those pathways. It keeps those two change programs to keep our engines as good as they can be for as long as they can be. And anytime we're disconnected from nature, even just being inside, it's a problem, a huge problem.
Well, this has been enlightening conversation, no pun intended. I really appreciate you taking the time, Dr. Jeffries.
All right, thank you.
Hey everybody, thanks for watching. I really value your feedback, so please comment below what you thought of this particular episode and what topics and guests you might like me to have in the future. Don't forget to subscribe and click on the little bell if you want notifications every time I upload a new video. Thanks again for watching.